Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, who is this then that even wind and sea obey him? Well, we know the answer to this, don't we? We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, begotten before all creation, always existing and always shall exist, the one who took on human flesh to bear your sins and to be your Savior. We know that that is the end of the story. Of course, all things would obey him. He created all things. Why wouldn't they obey him? In fact, we even see in our Old Testament lesson, God, who I believe this is the second person of the Holy Trinity, he speaks to Job, and we find that he has some very harsh words for Job, relying on that very creative act. Now, I always ask the question, is there any false doctrine found in Holy Scripture? And the answer, of course, to that is no. Except, of course, that there is. If you were to read Job, you would know that not only Job's friends have really bad doctrine, but his false friends lead him into bad doctrine as well. And so Job begins to think, well, there must be something that I did to deserve all this punishment that God has wrought on me, to take away all my possessions, to take away my children, to make me suffer in the flesh. There must be something that God is punishing me for. And of course, we know that the thing that Job is suffering through is, of course, called sin. But Job here presumes to speak for God. And so God, Jesus, comes down out of heaven and speaks to him and basically says, stand up, gird yourself like the warrior that you should be, and take what's coming to you. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, you should know who laid the foundations there, who laid the plumb line, who put all the cornerstones in. And Job's answer, of course, should be, I don't know, except that it is you, Lord. So, we see from there then that God is the one who created all things. He is the one who set all things into motion, all things into order, and he is the one who still preserves them. So, we know the question that the apostles asked, who is this that the wind and the sea obey him? And we know the answer. The very God who created all things. But they didn't know. They didn't know. You have to remember, they did not know this, not fully. I mean, perhaps they have an inkling. Perhaps if they had listened to Jesus' teaching and if they knew the scriptures as well as Christ himself did, they would know that he is the Messiah, that he is God in flesh. They would know that God had been sent to them, but they don't know that yet. And it wouldn't be until after the resurrection that they fully realize everything that was going on. They should have known, but they didn't. They should have known that Jesus could do these things, but they didn't. They should have known that Jesus would not be as concerned with what was happening outside of the boat as what was happening inside of the disciples. But they didn't. You see, the disciples really were in no danger. Mark is the only gospel writer who tells us in this account that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. It's kind of a funny little thing. Why would that be anywhere near important to mention? Well, the fact that Jesus was asleep, of course, we know that means that Jesus was pretty secure in what would happen to him. This is not when he would die. The fact that he's asleep on a cushion, well, that means he's going to sleep even harder than the rest. He's not going to be lulled into a sense of insecurity. He's not going to be struggling against the night, but instead he curls up on a cushion of the boat and he falls asleep. It's like he's snoring in the back. Jesus knows that nothing is going to happen to him, and nothing is going to happen to the apostles who are with him, and not even to those who are on the other boats. And why? Because when Jesus is present, we are safe and secure. When the God who created all things and controls all things is present, we are safe and secure. And the apostles should have known this. After all, how many times did the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests come down from Jerusalem to confront them, and then all of them were turned away, they walked away, turned back by Jesus' words and teaching? How often did the disciples face danger from demons and from all the people who would do Jesus ill, and still they found themselves safe? Jesus well provides a measure of safety and security that no one can really anticipate. And really, that is also true for us. Now, we shouldn't make too much of an analogy out of this. We need to recognize that this really did happen. So first of all, Jesus really did calm real winds and real waves. But if we are to look at it for us today, then we could kind of look at this and say, when the wind and the waves of this world struggle against us, and when we find ourselves hurting and fearing, we know that Jesus is with us. We are safe and secure. It doesn't mean that the water doesn't splash into the boat, and that the wind doesn't struggle against us, and the storm doesn't make it hard, maybe even impossible, but that Jesus, being with us, tells us that we are always in his hands. And so it is, even that we are, as we are gathered together, we know that we're safe and secure now in the hands of God. There is, in fact, now nothing that will happen to us that we should fear. Even if the roof should cave in on us, even if a fire should surround the building and we can't get out, even if riots and tumult were to take over this entire area and wipe us out, if we were to die today, we would know that we are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Something interesting that happens in this, that when Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, it says that the wind ceased and the waves were a great calm. You take a glass full of water and you shake it back and forth real hard, right? Of course, the water starts to kind of splash out, right? So you can kind of see what's happening there. What if you just stop? Set the glass down. Does the water stop shaking in that glass right then? No, the water keeps going. It echoes back and forth. And eventually that water will find its equilibrium, but it takes a while. But as soon as Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, it says the winds ceased. There was no more blowing. And there was a great calm, meaning that the water became perfectly still in that moment. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. It actually is kind of like water in a glass. So if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, it's this lake that's surrounded by high hills all around it. And when storms move in, the storm would move the water back and forth, causing huge waves that would rock from one side of the lake to the other. And it still does this today, actually. And even if the storm were to pass, the lake would shake for hours on end. But Jesus, speaking out to the wind and the waves, said, "Peace," which really means, "Be quiet, be still." And they immediately obey. Who is this then that the wind and the waves obey him? What are the wind and the waves for you? The tumult that goes on in our nation today? Is it tumult in your own family? Weakness? Death? Disease? Is it a thing that would bother us in terms of life and living? Your finances? Your house? How are you going to make ends meet? How are you going to keep things up? Where are you going to go when you finally get old enough that, well, you just need help. There are so many things that can bother us. Knowing then that our Jesus can speak even to these things, we should have confidence because he speaks peace. And yet, even if he were to allow, and he often does, the storms of this life to continue on around us, he speaks peace to your hearts. He speaks that you should have faith in him, that you should have peace. You might stand before God like Job, making accusations. Lord, you promised to take care of me. Lord, you promised to take care of her. Lord, you promised to be with me always. And your Lord would stand in front of you and say, be quiet, be still, have peace, security. And when your Lord speaks to you from his word, this is exactly then what you should find. When your Lord fills you with his supper, this peace is exactly what you should have. When the Lord reminds you of your baptism, this peace is what you should have. Have you no faith? Of course you have faith. It has been granted to you as a gift by the Holy Spirit to believe in your Jesus unto everlasting life. Have faith in him that when he speaks peace to you, you have it. That word is actually so important through all of our liturgy. Have you ever noticed the many times that Jesus speaks peace to you in the divine service? In fact, almost every time you see me make the sign of the cross, either for me or for yourself, you should know that there is somehow peace in there. I mean, when it comes to his invocation, that we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's peace because God is there. When I elevate the host and the cup at communion, right, and I say what? The peace of the Lord be with you always. It's a good time to make the sign of the cross because peace is there. And it comes in many other ways, but it also comes in his benediction. Right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, that he has joy in you, and he give you his peace. See, peace is important. Peace is comfort. And if you leave this place not quieted, not in peace, perhaps it is that your faith is placed in things that are not of God, but are of yourself. Because you do have the faith to receive the word, to receive faith, to receive his peace. Trust in his peace. Trust in his comfort. Trust that even he who created the wind and the waves can cause them to stop, and he can do this even for you. Not just with the things of this world, but with all the desires of your heart, he can speak peace to you. And he does speak it today. He speaks it to you every time we gather together, every time we hear his word, every time we gather around the sacraments. That peace is yours because your Jesus speaks it to you. And you know that he is the one who can do all these things for you because you've seen that he is the man who said that he will be murdered and that he will raise himself up on the third day. And so he has. And if he can do this, imagine what he will do for you in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Our Lord speaks peace to you this day. Who is it that even the wind and the waves obey him? He is the Son of God, crucified and risen for you, the one who has forgiven your sins and rescued you from death, and he brings you his peace. Have peace, my friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.